Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of multifamily sales skills and coaching mindset. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a multifamily sales professional and industry consultant, the fabulous Catherine Maestas. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, so, you know, the interesting topic, everything is driven in the multifamily world by sales, which translates to leases. Let's talk a little bit about what you see as the issue that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a little bit of my background, I have a background in sales. I've been doing sales since I was 19 years old, and multifamily wasn't anything that was ever on my radar. And so when I jumped in as a leasing agent, I definitely had a leg up from, you know, other competitors and even those within the companies that I worked for, because I viewed everything from a sales lens versus a leasing agent or administrator lens, if that makes sense. And so it is interesting that we have an industry that is 100% driven by sales, but there seems to be a lack of sales training. There's a lot of training leasing agents on the paperwork, such as making sure a move-in folder is put together correctly, making sure a lease is filled out correctly. And all of those things are important because a lease is a legal document. We want to make sure everything is, you know, all of our I's are dotted and T's are crossed, but we also are seeing the struggle of getting to the lease in the first place. And that's where that lack of sales training starts to come into play. And then we wonder why our leasing agents aren't doing better in their position. And so we tell them, well, you need to get more applications because the owners want 8 applications this week, but we're not training them on how to get those 8 applications. We just tell them to get 8 applications. They do the tours, but we have no idea if those tours were actually effective. We have no idea like what psychological buzzwords were said or weren't said, the body language of our leasing agents. And then we wonder, like, why aren't we closing our gap? My leasing agent had 12 tours this week. We needed 8 applications and we got 0. Again, there's a lack of sales training that's happening. Our property managers are also not trained in sales, but they're taught the admin side of the job, which again is important. It's a multi-million dollar asset that is being managed. They need to know the admin, but they're not being trained on sales or leadership, which then has this trickle effect going down to our leasing agents not being trained in the art of sales. And then we just continue this vicious cycle of a lack of success.
So tell us a little bit why sales skills matter. Sales skills matter.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there's a fantastic book by Brian Tracy called The Psychology of Sales. And he talks a lot about how selling is really just a psychological game more than anything else. People don't necessarily want to be sold. They want to be connected with. And the definition of connection, if you will, is to be seen, valued, or heard. And, you know, if we go and shop comps, you know, let's say we go secret shops and properties today, how many of them are going to make you feel seen, valued, or heard? How many of our leasing agents are actually sitting down with our prospective residents long before the tour begins and finding out what they're looking for, what's making them move? Tell me something personal about you, right? Keeping tabs on what that person said and then talking about that stuff while on a tour. I gave a tour to a prospective resident about a year ago, and there was kind of a lull in the conversation while we were talking, and I looked over at her and I noticed she was wearing a Harry Potter lanyard. And so I said, you know, I got to ask you a question, and it's probably the most important question I could ask you on this tour. And she kind of looked at me a little weird, and I was like, I got to know what Hogwarts house you're in. And she just kind of threw her head back, and she started laughing, and she told me what house she was in. And I said, well, you know, I'm a Hufflepuff myself, and, you know, an angry little badger makes sense. And so we kind of just started talking about Harry Potter for a little bit. We didn't talk anything about the amenities or anything about the property. We just started nerding out about Harry Potter. And so then when we went downstairs to the leasing office to talk about the application, she actually opened up to me a little bit more about why she was actually moving. And she said, I'm not moving to the downtown area for a job. I'm actually moving downtown because I'm getting out of a domestic violence relationship, and I need to move somewhere where he doesn't know where I am. And there's no way she would have been vulnerable enough to tell me why she was actually moving had I not gotten to know her and connected with her on something that had nothing to do with the apartment. Mm-hmm. You know, there's plenty of times we take people on tours and we notice something, but we don't say anything about it. And then we have the audacity, quite honestly, to think we deserve an application after that, right? And so when it comes to selling, it's about knowing how to connect with somebody and how to connect with a person and not just sell a product. There's apartments everywhere. Throw a rock and we'll be able to find an apartment literally anywhere, identical square footage, similar amenities, but they should choose you because of how you made them feel, not the product that you sell. And sales training is about learning how to make people feel something, not just see your product.
We've got about 5 minutes left in this segment. Tell a little bit about some of the things that they could do, some of the tips you have to be able to make that connection. I mean, obviously, you know, if it was me, I'm not a Harry Potter person, so I would have just completely, right. completely missed that.
Right.
But what are some of the things that you can typically find that commonality or that connection that you can do?
Yeah,
what do you suggest?
You know, I would say my biggest advice is slow down, because we have people that walk into our offices and, you know, say that they want a tour and they want to take a look at apartments. And then we immediately just like, oh, okay. And so we grab our keys and we share our laptop and it's like, all right, let's go on our tour. Hold on. What's their name? What are they looking for? What's making them move? Let's slow down just a little bit. So one of the things I always coach my leasing agents on, we have this beautiful lobby. Go grab your laptop, go sit down in the lobby before you even go on the tour and talk to them, ask them their name. What's making them move? What are they looking for? And actually listen with real intent and understanding, because you're going to hear them say something that you can start a conversation about that has nothing to do with apartment shopping. If they're moving for a job, find out what they do for work and then talk to them about that job and start building a connection with that. Ask them if they're moving from out of state or just maybe a different city, but in the same state, you might be able to find some common grounds there as well. So then when you're touring and walking around the building, you can actually talk to them about them and not just the building that you're walking through.
We've got about 3 minutes left in the segment. Tell me a little bit about, do you run into any kind of resistance from the people you're training? They don't feel comfortable making that connection. I mean, one of the things that I can say is about multifamily is that it is so diverse with people of from different generations and age groups.
Totally.
And,
yeah.
You know, there's so many of the younger folks that really just want to text and connect that way without having to actually talk to a person. So are you seeing any of that in the industry? And if so, how do you overcome that?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's definitely resistance to it. Like you said, we've got a generational gap of they prefer to text or email or not have face-to-face contact, if you will. But it's one of those things where you kind of have to push them just a little bit. And one of the ways that I do that is, okay, if you're not comfortable doing it with a complete stranger, we're going to role play and you're going to do it to me. And that's something that's definitely missing within our training in our industry is we don't role play that way. We don't necessarily train to be honest with you. And one of the ways that I did was we would role play with each other. We'd close the office and I would pretend to be a prospective resident. And I want you to try and connect with me. And I want you to try and, in a sense, get 3 layers deep with me to figure out why I'm actually moving and connect with me and make me feel something, not just show me your product. And the more we would have those training sessions, to use a sports analogy, We're using a training session with me as the coach. So then you're ready for game day with a prospect. So then you feel so much more comfortable doing it with a prospect because you practiced on me first. And then that level of discomfort starts to dissipate just a little bit because we went through enough practice sessions that they are confident and comfortable enough to do it with a prospect.
We've got about a minute left, and you said something that's kind of intriguing to me. I want to make sure our listeners understand. You said to get three layers deep. Explain mm-hmm. that. What is three layers deep?
So, you know, someone could walk in and say, I'm looking for an apartment. Okay, great. What's making you move? I just need to downsize. And then it's like, okay, great. We take them on a tour. Well, you need to find out why they want to downsize. So then let's start talking to them a little bit more. Why are you wanting to downsize? Are you, all your kids have moved away, whatever else. And it could be, yeah, all my kids have moved out. So that's exciting. That's great. Do your kids live here in Utah? Are they kind of spread out? Like what's the story there? Well, now you've gotten to a layer that's going to require vulnerability out of your prospect, but you have also needed to set the tone for this person to be vulnerable. And more than likely what they are about to say is, I'm downsizing because I'm going through a divorce and he's going to mm-hmm. keep the house. And so I need an apartment. Well, we just got three levels deep with this person. I now need to make sure I make this person feel seen, valued, and heard by trusting me with the most vulnerable information she could have just given me. So now I know why she's looking for an apartment and how to take care of her during this tour, as well as this huge major life shift she is going through.
All right. That's a great explanation, and it certainly makes sense. But we're going to be back right after this short break. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
We're back, and you were listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing the topic of multifamily sales skills and coaching mindset. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a multifamily sales professional, and an industry consultant, the amazing Catherine Maestas. I would like to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Catherine, let's talk a little bit in this segment about the missing mindset for managers.
So, we've got property managers that We train them on the administrative side of the job, and the administrative side of the job is very much the most time consuming because you're scrubbing financials, you're making sure invoices are paid on time, and you're negotiating bids with vendors, you're reviewing lease agreements and things like that. And as I previously mentioned, all of those things are so vital and they are so important, but we are missing a massive piece with our property managers, and that's training them to think and operate like a coach and not just a task overseer. When you have a coaching mindset, you then are developing teams and not just managing them. When you focus on just managing them, that's where you see a high turnover and you kind of have this mindset of like, okay, if you don't last, you know what? I'll just post the job and hire another leasing agent, and I just need to make sure they know how to do tours and send a lease agreement. But then you can't understand why you can't retain a team. And it's because, again, you think as a property manager, as a task overseer, and not someone who develops a person becoming more so then they can grow within their career, which then in turn is going to help a property manager grow in their career. But we see that lack of training just straight across the board within the industry.
And talk a little bit about the coaching mindset and developing teams. What does that look like?
Yeah. So what I would do when I was on site is I would shadow my leasing agents. It didn't matter how well tenured they were or if they were brand new to the industry, I needed to see how they operated. And it's no different than using a sports analogy where a coach is going to come in and I need to see how these guys play. You guys can say that you're the best, but I'll be the judge of that kind of thing. And you need to watch how, again, using a sports analogy, how the ball is being shot, which foot they're pushing off of, which hand they're using, what their lateral movements look like, what their speed looks like, what their momentum looks like. And then from there, you can drill down, because telling a basketball player to say, hey, shoot the ball better, that doesn't do them any favors. And same with our leasing agents, get me more leases, that doesn't do them any favors. What you need to do is go in and say, let me show you what I mean by that, but first I need to see how you play before I coach you on how to play. How am I going to do that? I'm going to shadow you on the next tour. So when the next tour comes in, you're letting the leasing agent announce to the prospect, this is my property manager, she's just going to be shadowing me today, but I'll be the one doing your tour. And as you're following them on the tour, you can take little notes in a notebook or on your phone, but you don't correct information. I never interjected on a tour. I never corrected anything. I just let them do the tour. And then after the tour, we would debrief, and that's where I would give them the feedback on the things they did really well at, similar to sports, but these are also the things you need to do better at that I noticed. And now I'm going to show you how it's done. Let's role play real quick. I'm going to take you on a tour and I'm going to show you how I would like those tours to start looking. But that feedback from my leasing agents or assistants was invaluable to them because no one was giving them that feedback. They were just told to go do a tour and hopefully get an application out of it. But now they have someone drilling into them and noticing this is what you're struggling with, but here's how I'm going to help you overcome it. And they were always just so grateful for that because no one was ever giving them that kind of feedback because no one was ever taking the time to even come on a tour in the first place. You know, we have properties that struggle with getting applications, leases, et cetera, but you don't know why. So when you sit on your ownership calls, your owners are asking, why aren't we getting applications? And the property manager sits there and says, I honestly don't know, but I'll talk to our leasing agent. That's a failure on the property manager's part. The property manager should absolutely know why they are not getting leases. But the way you find that out is by going out and joining your leasing agent on those tours.
You know, we talked a little bit in the first segment about resistance from salespeople. Mm-hmm. What type of resistance have you seen with property managers thinking, well, that's really not my area, that, you know, that's what I hired you mm-hmm. to do, that's what I hired the leasing agents to do. I've got to run this property. I don't have time to be a coach or to oversee that. I mean, again, I think it's a generational thing. Some people probably from different age groups look at it differently, but, if that has not been their role in the past with the companies they work with, how do you coach them into accepting that that's such an important role? I mean, obviously what you said is very important.
Mm-hmm. With that resistance, that's where they have to understand that's part of managing the property. That's part of managing the asset. Part of managing the asset isn't just the books or the projects or renovations that are happening on the property. Part of managing the site is making sure that there is less turnover in this office, because when there's high turnover in this office, your regional now has to make the embarrassing phone call to the ownership group that we have another leasing agent that is leaving. Yes, I know this is the fourth one in 6 months, but you know what? we feel confident about the next guy. That's what they said about the last three people. So now you have owners that don't trust you, right? These owners absolutely do not trust you. And now the owners are going to wonder, what is the problem in the office? Because we should not be going through this many leasing agents in this short amount of time. So to your point, like you said, a property manager can easily say, I've got a property to run. I've got a property to manage. This is part of running a property, and this is part of managing a property. If you're sick of your high turnover and having to start over with another person, we might have a coaching and training problem that falls on the shoulders of the property manager, not the leasing agent. Because when you can have a smooth running team who understands their role and job, just like in sports, right? You now have a winning team, which then the property manager, who's the coach, team captain, not the coach, the coach and the team captain, can now do their job smoothly and trust their entire team to win the game, if you will. But when you've got a team captain that says, well, I don't want to have to do that, I shouldn't have to do that, okay, then have fun throwing the ball to your leasing agent, and they drop the pass because they don't understand how to catch the ball. You have that. That's part of being the team captain. That's part of managing a property. If you want to have more trust in your team and have your property run smoothly, you've got to take the time to coach them so they understand how to do their jobs more effectively. So then you can be more hands off. Because when I was a property manager, I hated micromanaging because I didn't have the time for it. Because to your point, I had a property to manage. So let me coach you on how to do your job effectively and flawlessly. So I actually don't have to micromanage you. It makes my life easier.
I know a lot of, you know, when you talk about people's journeys into multifamily, and by the way, we've got about 3 minutes left in the segment. Most everybody seems to have started as a leasing agent and then move into assistant manager role, then up to a manager and then regional and so forth. But that doesn't mean necessarily that they were a great leasing agent.
Totally.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
So my question is, how can you take a manager and quickly assess whether or not they've got the skill set to be a good coach so that they can then coach properly the folks that are doing the leasing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think number one, numbers don't lie. That those are always a good indicator of how people are doing. But I think when it comes time to get someone promoted to property manager, regional, et cetera, we need to start asking more emotional questions and not, in a sense, the admin questions, because yeah, we can look at someone's books and it's like, wow, you always had just the cleanest books, the most perfect books. That's amazing. Or, you know, you've managed X amount of units. You're ready to advance into the next position. Just because someone has managed over 400 units doesn't make them a great leader. Or just because someone has clean books and financials doesn't necessarily mean that they're ready to take on a property. Or just because someone's gotten a ton of leases doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be the best coach or the best leader. So I think when we start asking more emotional questions and more questions centered around what it looks like to actually lead a team, the more knowledge we will have on determining whether this person is actually ready for that next step. When I interviewed to be a leasing agent, I talked a lot about emotional things from previous jobs and emotional connections I was able to build with people, which made me the top candidate for the leasing agent position. It wasn't a matter of, oh, I've closed this many deals in my career, or I've hit these numbers in my lifetime. It's more of, I can give you names, dates of individuals, of people that I have sold and why that sell mattered so much. And I can bring that to the multifamily industry, which then made me a great property manager to coach leasing agents on how to think and operate the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely possess those skills. And so one more thing, we've got about a minute left. Talk a little bit about what those emotional questions would be if you were going to be interviewing somebody for that type of position.
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely want to know, like if I was interviewing someone to be, let's say, like a regional manager or even a property manager from an assistant, I want to hear more personal anecdotes that they can tell me about their team members. Not necessarily what's their favorite color or their Hogwarts house, right? But more so, like, just tell me about this person, not their numbers that they've closed as a leasing agent or any of those things. Tell me about them as an individual. And I think 9 times out of 10, we'd be really surprised to hear a deafening silence because we don't know. Tell me about some residents. And we can all talk about residents we haven't had a good relationship with, because it seems like we always have difficult relationships with our residents, right? So we can tell you all the bad stories about a resident, but tell me about a relationship with a resident that's positive, and tell me why it's positive. Tell me their names right now, what apartment they live in, and something personal about them. And I think, again, we'd be surprised to hear a deafening silence. Again, I don't want to hear about your problem residents. I want to hear about your positive residents. When I worked for Coach Handbags, something that we were required to do with each engagement with the customer was we were required to collect the three P's, which was, what is their price? What product are they looking for? And tell me something personal about them. Mm-hmm. And again, 9 times out of 10, well, I knew what bag they were looking at, but I didn't ask them what their price point was. And honestly, I didn't learn anything personal about them. Okay, then don't be upset you didn't get the sale, because you don't deserve mm-hmm. it. Those are the kind of questions we need to be asking in a personal regard when we are trying to prepare people to grow. We need to know how well they are emotionally involved with their teams as well as their residents to help them prepare for the next step, because that's just going to require more connection and more vulnerability, quite honestly.
All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Still using the Public Housing Authority's utility allowance? Plumbers, Water, and Energy Efficiency Team can develop a custom allowance model to boost your bottom line and help pay for upgrades. Plumber partners with affordable housing providers across the country. With over 1,000 successful custom utility allowance models, they know how to make the business case for efficiency. They can also help you with green building certifications, upgrades, and more. Learn about their no-risk guarantee and how they can help you at plumber.com. That's plummer.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Hi, this is Remy Marks, the Chief Connection Officer of Multifamily Now 24/7 Internet Radio, the first and only radio station created exclusively for the multifamily industry. It's where professionals come together for nonstop insights, stories, and conversations that move our industry forward. And now you can take that pride beyond the airwaves with the Multifamily Now store. From t-shirts and gear with the inside jokes only multifamily property pros understand, to the apparel that celebrates the people who keep communities thriving, this is where property management meets personality. Visit multifamilynow.com to tune in and to shop the store. Multifamily Now, the voice and the style of our industry.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co, Zentra.co, Zintra.co, or contact your Allegion representative.
We're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of multifamily sales skills and coaching mindset. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a multifamily sales professional, and an industry consultant, the fantastic Catherine Maestas. I would like to take a moment now and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Plumber, boost your bottom line with a custom utility allowance model. Zentra, a seamless security solution designed to solve the everyday problems of shared property access. Zentra is the convergence of exceptional security and convenience. And Two Dots, the only true all-in-one fraud prevention and underwriting solution for multifamily, trusted by six of the NMHC top 10. So, Catherine, let's talk in this segment about the impact on teams and performance. What do you have to say to that?
Yeah, so I actually made this post a couple of days ago on LinkedIn where I talked about a really difficult property that I took over that was honestly just in shambles. And I had briefly mentioned that that leasing agent was relatively new to the industry within like 6 months or less, and he had been trained to not lease an apartment until it was turned, even though there were 40 vacant units on this property, two of which were coming up on 365 days of being vacant. But we'll talk about that on another episode. and this poor, I mean, I say kid, he's only a couple of years younger than me, but I come in and I ask him about leasing and I'm using all this terminology, and he looks at me like, what are you talking about? And I look at him and I'm like, what are you talking about? Why don't you understand what I'm saying? And then come to find out, like, oh, I've been told we don't lease apartments until it's turned. And it was just like, slam on the brakes. Everything needs to come to a screeching halt. And so I sat with him for like 2 to 3 weeks, an hour a day, going over like, this is how you contact a lead. This is how we reach out to them. When they come in for a tour, I will shadow you. And then all of a sudden he starts getting leases, and he starts finally being successful in his job. But the poor guy had no idea that that is how leasing was supposed to happen. And so there's definitely a detriment to those previous managers that taught him not to do that, because what that communicates to me is just a lot of laziness to not want to get these units turned in time for move-in. So if we teach our leasing agent, you don't have to do that, then we don't have to get to these turns, and we can all just kind of hang out and chill and not be stressed out. So when we don't have that sales training and we don't have that coaching mindset, your team is going to plateau, or not even plateau. They're never going to be able to rise up to begin with, like this guy was. But with that right mindset, I was able to get that property to perform at a higher level. And that leasing agent, and it's kind of an emotional story, but he went from not knowing how to do his job and being trained incorrectly to now being one of the top performing leasing agents at Utah's largest high rise. And I take a lot of pride in his story and his ability to even get there. He has about an 88% closing ratio at this property. He's gotten employee of the month with this company, which is a very large international company. So how is it someone goes from, I'm just going to sit here and not do my job, to now I get to be in one of the biggest high rises in Salt Lake City, Utah? It comes from that coaching, and it comes from that mindset. I think egos need to get out of the way just a little bit. When you pour into someone else, it doesn't make you less than, right? Because his success is my success. And I don't say that story as a reflection of me. I say that story as a reflection of him, because he also had to take my coaching and run with it. But the property was struggling, and we needed to pull it out of the trenches that it was in. And we were able to do so with the right coaching and adjustments.
That's a fantastic and fascinating story. I want to ask you, though, one of the things that came to mind when you were talking was, and we keep talking about property managers training the leasing agents. There are some larger companies, I would imagine, who have a dedicated trainer and marketing person, leasing person, that is supposed to, I would imagine, as part of their role, to train all the leasing personnel throughout the properties in a portfolio, as opposed to the on-site manager doing it. Mm-hmm. Do you see that as being a something that is a liability potentially, because they can only spend so much time and get around so much, whereas the property manager's there every day?
Right. I mean, I worked for a company where my property was doing so well, I was honestly kind of bored. And so I had reached out to my regional and I said, hey, I would really love to host like a sales training with all of the leasing agents in our region, as well as the assistants, just anyone that oversees leasing, and really train and coach them on the art of selling. Cause I just have all the time in the world right now. And she responded with, well, we already have a training and development division at the corporate office and they do a training once a year. And I responded with like, that's like doing spring training and then expecting the team to do well in the fall. That makes no sense whatsoever. But I get it. They're probably overextended. The corporate office was in a completely different state. The company we worked for was nationwide. So how are they supposed to train these leasing agents consistently and help them be successful? Especially like you said, the property manager is there every single day with this individual. The training division department can only do so much that's not via Zoom or once a year, if you will. And so that's why I think there needs to be more sales training as well as sales follow-up specifically for the property managers, because that is the person that is there every day consistently watching this person in action. But that also goes into the conversation of like, there needs to be better training and support for every team member on site so that the property manager does have that bandwidth to train these individuals and get that coaching mindset in play.
Yeah. And we've got about 3.5 minutes left in the segment. That also brings to mind the fact that you probably, if you did have a trainer come in to train, or like you did, where you wanted to do it with the company, then the property manager needs to sit on that training as well to bump up on their skills, right?
Yep, absolutely. It's definitely a skill set that's not like honed in on. There's tons of training on how to better understand your financials. There's tons of training on how to submit invoices correctly. There's tons of training on how to do your weekly report to your ownership groups correctly. But where is the training on how do I train these people in my office so when I'm sitting on these calls, I don't have to stress about the fact that the property might figuratively or literally be on fire because I'm not the one that's out there right now because I'm on this call. And that happens consistently where the property manager feels like they have to carry it all because the rest of the team just truly does not understand how to do their jobs effectively, but it falls on the property manager's shoulders to train them on how to do that. But our property managers need to be trained on how to do that as well as handle that bandwidth so that the property can truly function smoothly.
I want to ask you this question. How have you seen everything change? Obviously, we know what changed initially when we had COVID and the pandemic as it comes to leasing. Everybody went to virtual touring and things like that that really were not accepted in multifamily fully by a lot of people. They were still kind of looking at it, but they were forced to do it. And then once we got through that, where have you seen it gone? Are people still using that as a crutch, or do they, where they should be, like you said, making those emotional connections, and they're not doing it because they depend on all the automation that's out there?
Yeah, I definitely do think it can be a crutch. You know, if you scroll on LinkedIn, you see a lot of conversation about AI being brought into the industry. And I think we're going to see a little bit more of these individuals who already use technology as a crutch, use it even further as a crutch. And then our prospects are just going to honestly miss the good old days of when I got to talk to an actual person versus an AI, right? But the problem then is, okay, there is an actual person in that office, but that actual person is very uncomfortable talking to you because they don't know how, because they have not been trained on how to do so. You know, several years ago, this was back in like, I want to say 2011 or 2012, the LDS church changed their missionary age from 19 to 18 for the boys and then 21 to 19 for the girls. And what was interesting is when that first wave of new young missionaries went out, 40% of them came home early because they could not handle face-to-face contact. They could not handle talking to someone in person. And so 40% of them came home because it was too much. And that's a problem. Technology is a blessing and a curse. So we need to find a balance of, yes, this virtual ability to tour this apartment is great, but we still need to have the human interaction. This isn't just like ordering a pair of jeans online. This is someone buying a home for whatever reason. They are about to spend thousands of dollars, and we cannot just rely on technology and AI automation to do our job for us. Otherwise, why is the leasing agent there in the first place?
I do have one more follow-up question, but we need to take a break here. I'm going to ask you that at the top of the next segment. So we'll be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because Multifamily Matters.
Welcome to the future of property management with Two Dots, the revolutionary platform that transforms how you verify income and identity while stopping fraud in its tracks. Manual reviews are slow, error-prone, and risky. Two Dots automates verification with advanced AI that instantly detects fake documents, and our team handles the follow-ups so your leasing agents don't have to. Save 1.5 hours per applicant, minimize legal risk, and unlock up to $300 in additional NOI per unit annually. But don't take our word for it. We'll test all of your previous applications for fraud free in just 15 minutes to show you what you missed. Say goodbye to bad debt and hello to smarter, faster leasing with Two Dots. Visit us at twodots.net. That's TWODOTS.net and see for yourself today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of multifamily sales skills and coaching mindset. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a multifamily sales professional, and an industry consultant, the awesome Catherine Maestas. And before we jump back in the conversation, I do want to take a moment to thank some of our other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Catherine, in the last segment, I mentioned that there was a follow-up question that I had. And we talked just a very short amount about AI and the things that are the hot buttons in multifamily that we hear a lot about, AI, centralization, automation, things like that. And it seems like a lot of the larger companies are adopting those types of tools because possibly they don't feel like they're getting consistent results from across the board from all of their properties with all their leasing agents when it pertains to leasing. They're doing other things mm-hmm. with those, but as what pertains to leasing. And my question is, they feel like if they can take some of those responsibilities away and leave it to AI or automation, then, they're going to get a more consistent result. Do you agree with that theory? And if so, why is it good or why is it bad?
You know, I remember at my first lease up when they started introducing like a mini version of AI, and this was a little bit before AI really came on the scene, but it basically was an automated response to when someone would reach out to us through a contact form on our website after business hours. Because normally what happens is someone sends, you know, an inquiry at 7, 8 p.m. We're not in the office anymore, so I'll see it tomorrow morning or maybe Monday morning because it's a Saturday. And the idea is, well, that's a hot lead and we don't want to lose it. So we're going to bring in this automated response portal that will start responding back to them, get a tour scheduled, whatever. And my leasing agents were actually really bummed out about it because they just then asked, well, then what's the point of my job and why am I here? Mm-hmm. Because now AI just did all of that for me. What if the tour was scheduled and I'm not going to be here that day or whatever else? And it was very much a valid concern and a valid question. But, you know, the question I would ask a lot of like owners and operators is, why is it you are willing to dump money into artificial intelligence, but not dump it into your leasing agents that already manage your site? I don't know how much artificial intelligence costs, but I'm going to assume that it's a pretty penny. Why aren't you investing it into the people that are already here who have established a relationship with your residents, your prospective residents? They know the surrounding area like the back of their hand, as well as your multi-million dollar asset like the back of their hand. But you're willing to put money forward to honestly put a Band-Aid on a problem versus dumping it into the people that are already there to get them the better training, coaching, and development that, quite honestly, they deserve. Yes, AI is going to be a little bit more automated and responsive and whatever else. But my curiosity, why are you willing to spend that money on artificial intelligence, but not the people that are already there?
Okay. That answers my question. and certainly I understand how you feel about that. So, but we've got about 4 minutes left or 3.5 minutes left before I want to transition to something. So let's talk a little bit about the path forward. Explain to our listeners about the path forward.
Yeah. So I think we definitely need to start rethinking our training programs for anyone that is on site, our leasing agents, our assistants, and our property managers. You know, we need to be teaching sales to our leasing agents, not just leasing. It's not hard to talk about square footage. It's not hard to show how a lease needs to be written out. But what is hard is sales skills. And we need to be training our leasing agents on how to be better equipped with those. And then in turn, coaching our property managers to think and operate kind of similar to a sports coach, right? It's one thing to know the sport, but do you know how to coach it? Similar to the multifamily industry. Because if we invest in people's mindset shifts, we're going to see better performance and our people on site are not just going to be task masters as well as task doers.
Okay. All right. I got to say, throughout this interview, I've been intrigued with You must have either grown up as an athlete yourself or come from a family of athletes because you certainly are able to use those sports analogies better than I could.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could say I was on a team or something like that. My entire high school career can be summed up of I tried, but I never saw my name on the roster kind of thing. Which, what wasn't awesome, you know, at 15, 16 years old when that's your entire world, but I have always been an active individual and a lot of my sales background also comes from the fitness industry. And so a lot of the sports analogies comes from that world. I actually did a podcast a couple of months ago. It's pinned on my LinkedIn where it's what can the multifamily industry learn from the gym floor? And we basically just talked about the gym and used analogies from athletics and things like that. But there's a lot of amazing lessons that can be learned from sports. That's for sure.
With about a minute and a half left before I want to transition to something, give our listeners, you know, your top 5 to 10 tips on what do you think they should take away from what we talked about as far as how they can improve the situation at their properties or in their portfolios by using the sales skills and the coaching mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. There's power in connection. Your people want to be connected with, and I don't just mean residents and prospective residents. This also includes your people on site. If you're a regional, your property manager needs to know they're more than just a property manager that's on call 24/7. If you're a property manager, your leasing agent wants to know they're more than just a leasing agent who's expected to pump out leases for you. Again, there is power in connection and being seen and valued and heard. That power of connection can allow us to focus on selling a feeling and not so much a product. Square footage is anywhere. An infinity pool is anywhere. No one cares about your gym and what kind of dumbbells you have in there. They want to know about how they are going to feel if they decide to become a resident at your property. And the way they can tell about how they will feel as a resident on site is indicated through the leasing experience. And that feeling can also transcend into a company and how an employee feels at a company as well. Intrada just recently, I think actually earlier today, released their monthly newsletter. And at the top of the newsletter, it talks about employee burnout and how we are seeing a huge problem within the multifamily industry, that we are seeing a lot of turnover on site. And then they kind of give some tips and tricks on how to avoid that. But it all just goes back to how you make someone feel and how they feel connected to. Your employees don't necessarily want your branded swag. They don't want a branded pen or a branded notebook or anything like that. They, again, want something that's going to make them feel valued as a member of your company that is expected to manage a multi-million dollar asset, which literally not a whole lot of ROI back to the on-site team, if that makes sense. And then by taking that time to coach your on-site teams, you are communicating to the team, you can trust me. Because I have 18,000 other things that I have to get done today. I have a regional breathing down my neck. I have an ownership call in an hour that I'm not looking forward to. But the person that is the most top priority is you. Let's go on a tour. And by doing so, you're going to communicate so much trust with your team that when it's time to throw them the ball, they will make sure they always catch it for you.
There's that sports analogy again.
Exactly. Tom Brady came to mind when I said that. So.
All right. We've got about 2 minutes left. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing now. And also, if they want to reach out to you and contact you to either work, see if you can work with them or guide them, what would be the best way to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm no longer on site, and I've now transitioned over into multifamily consulting, specifically focusing on this sales skills and coaching mindset. Again, focusing on the thing that I feel like is missing in the industry, and available to coach on site, coach the teams, or coach the regionals and the property managers to do the very thing we've been talking about, to get to a point where, okay, you don't need me anymore. You're good to play this sport by yourself, if you will. Best place to reach me is going to be through LinkedIn. I love getting connections from people and getting messages from people that are like, hey, I need some help. And I know that admitting a property or a person needs help is hard, but it's better to be willing to ask for the help than not. And so I would love to hear from people. I'm accepting new clients now. And again, teaching these sales skills and this coaching mindset.
That's perfect. We've got about 30 seconds left. Is there any geographical area that you're concentrating on around the country to do your consulting work?
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm based out in Salt Lake City, so obviously anyone that's in the Utah region for sure, but it's definitely something I can do virtually, something I can travel for. So there's definitely no one that I don't feel like I can't help.
All right. Perfect. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for being with us. I'd love to have you back again and talk about this. It's a very, very important thing in the industry, but we will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.